order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order.
It's time for Legally Served with attorney Franz Borghardt.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
I'll allow it.
An open and honest discussion about how the law applies to the headlines.
You not only insult me, but you insult the integrity of this court.
The defendant is not guilty.
The defense is wrong.
But somebody in this courtroom is.
I'm being charged with a crime.
A trial by court martial.
Is that what this is? I'm being charged with a crime?
Legally Served with attorney Franz Borghardt.
Don't tell me what I know and don't know. I know the law.
What's happening, Franz? You know, this show, this segment, first of all, happy 4th of July to you guys, to all the watchers and listeners. This is like a legal all-you-can-eat contest.
Oh, goodness
gracious.
This
segment, Legally Sir.
You're going to reach. You're going to overreach to make this a comparison.
No.
Go ahead.
What's the name of the hot dog eating contest guy?
Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut? I eat law like Joey eats dogs, baby. Let's do it.
Okay. That wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I pulled back a little bit after your comment.
We got Franz Borghardt in for Legally Serve. Hey, before we dive into this week's topics, have I seen that you're a lot more occupied on Wednesday mornings now?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about court TV.
So, okay, here's the deal. There are booking agents for each host of each show for court TV. And there is a agent that has asked me to do a little bit more than I was doing before.
Uh-huh.
And so I will be on court TV at 8 a.m.
Today?
CourtTV.com. Yes, today.
8 a.m. our time.
Our time, central. But that may not be a regular kind of thing. That may be a rotate. But that's why people are like, why do you always post that praise me Twitter post about, like, you know, like when you're going to be on? I'm like, because I want people to know when I'm going to be on, like, Haldane's show.
Praise me. No, that's promotion, man. That's right. Hey, dial in.
Well, you know, if I get bashful about self-promotion, you know I'm being introspective.
Says
the guy that was like, our segment is like a hot dog eating contest.
So it says Court TV guest legal analyst Franz Borghardt from 8 to 10. Who are you paired up with for this? Is it like the Friday thing?
No. This is just kind of the host is Ted. But look, check it out.
The host is Ted?
Like, not Ted Talk, but the guy's first name is Ted.
Okay.
CourtTV.com.
Mm-hmm.
CourtTV.com. I'll be on Court TV live this morning from 8 to 10 Central. We'll see how frequently that plays from there. It's kind of a thing now. I'm on Court TV weekly.
Right.
Right?
Every Friday.
But I got to prioritize. This show takes precedent.
I appreciate that.
And then also, you know, my boy
you
Richard.
You mean that about as much as my high school principal meant we were the best graduating class ever.
Here's the other thing. My boy Richard Sprinkle, who I do an occasional podcast with. Richard Sprinkle.
We need new episodes, by the way.
Awesome attorney, Marine. He's hungry. So I don't need him to smell blood in the water. I miss a couple of episodes of Legally Served. And next thing you know.
You know, he does a good job.
It's an awkward conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I've actually thought about?
What?
I've actually thought about us both being on here with you. I know that's a lot to move. That's a lot of moving parts. But I mean, I love Richard.
Yes.
I do a show with Richard. But, you know, would my ego allow it? I don't know. I mean.
Shared microphones is not your favorite space.
You can tell from the Go Rude show that I do on a weekly, quasi-weekly basis that when there's other people, giving them an opportunity to talk is not a. Yeah. Why do you even have guests, Franz? Why do you even have guests?
All right, we're going to break here in just a minute, just kind of set the table right there. We've got a local story to talk about and a national story to talk about. And if we have time, I want to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court rulings from last week. Scott Peterson was found not guilty. You kind of called that shot. We'll cover that a little bit.
Right.
But the headline at WBRZ says, after officers arrest for sexual misconduct, BRPD and city are facing federal lawsuits. We're going to have to dig in on this one a little bit. It involves...
Ronald Haley. Attorney Ronald Haley.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Anyway, we're going to dig in on that right after we check news. So we are going to check ABC News, then our local news, our local traffic, our local weather, and then we will continue with Legally Served. I got to get your take on this college admissions ruling, if nothing else. I mean, there's plenty to cover, but the college admissions one is kind of a big deal, as it looks like it's going to have the most impact for repercussions in other areas.
For a ripple effect, yes.
Yes.
You're going to talk about that later today on your show, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll cover it in our next hour with Victoria Peltier. But from the legal perspective, I want to cover it from the corporate perspective with her, from the legal perspective with you, right? I'm going to get into some Supreme Court rulings because there's definitely a side-by-side comparison that I think can leave a lot of people confused after the bench heads into their summertime break. Hibernation, if you will, getting out of the heat. We got attorney Franz Borchardt in for Legally Served. All right, Franz, before we get to the Supreme Court rulings, let's talk about the Scott Peterson thing, because was it last week when you were on, we were talking about the former Parkland school resource officer. He stayed outside during a mass shooting. He was subsequently found not guilty.
The coward of Parkland.
So I feel like Scott Peterson was a victim of other shootings as far as a public perception angle is concerned.
Well, what was interesting to me, Brian, was they made him into a sacrificial lamb, mm-hmm. claiming that the kids would have been saved had he run in, which there was no proof of that. But they have the shooter. They prosecuted the shooter.
Right.
The shooter is going to spend the rest of his life in jail. So it's like, did you need a sacrificial lamb? Was the death penalty trial for you underwhelming such that you needed a separate person that you wanted to point the finger at? I just don't understand it. And I'm not trying to be haven't gone through that.
Okay,
right?
So the reason I feel like the perception changed with Peterson was because of what happened in Uvalde.
Okay.
That when you have a side-by-side comparison, you could say, here's what happens when resource officers stay outside. Here's what happens when the cops hesitate when they wait. And then you rewind the clock back to Parkland and you say, yeah, and he did it too.
The problem in that case all along was, number one, in the Parkland case, in the Scott Peterson case, is they tried to prosecute this defendant on a crime that just didn't fit. They tried to say that he caused the harm to the victims. And the problem with that is, if I'm a juror, I'm like, well, wait a minute. His inaction may have caused something, but there's no proof that he's the one who caused the harm when we know who charged into that school with a high-powered firearm and started murdering people.
Right.
So that was always going to be the problem. Now, what I'm curious about is, do state legislatures start legislating for, like, law enforcement who don't go into the fray, or is that just so ridiculous that that won't happen? Because I can see a legislature saying, we need to protect our youth. We need to protect our people. And if you're a law enforcement officer, and you don't go in and do your job, we're going to criminally prosecute you.
Right.
One, like, I think that's a ridiculously bad idea. This has always been a civil suit. If Alondra is a cop, if she's a cop, she has the badge, the gun, and she doesn't do what she's supposed to do and somebody gets harmed as a result of it, and you can prove it, sue the law enforcement agency. We're going to talk about suing law enforcement officers and agencies later in the show.
Yeah.
But my point is that is a civil, to me, that's a civil issue, not a let's prosecute him, let's put a felony brand on him and try to put him in jail. That's, to me, the Scott Peterson prosecution didn't make sense.
There's a bigger thing to deal with here when you start talking about prosecuting officers. And when you raise the bar, or when you raise the level of risk they take on in their job, not only are they risking their lives, but now they're risking their livelihoods as well. Who would want to be a cop at that point?
So that's the big issue, is you're already an underpaid human being doing civil service for the community.
Right.
And now, and by the way, in her closing argument, the prosecutor said, we're not saying that we wanted Scott Peterson to go in there on a suicide mission.
Right.
Well, he testified he didn't know where the shooter was. Now, whether you believe that or not, you don't want him to go in a suicide mission, but you want him to go into an active shooting range where he doesn't know where the shooter is. He's in a position of cover. Look, if you want to call the guy a coward, call him a coward, but it's not necessarily criminal in nature. This reminds me of a sports reference that I think you'll appreciate. Chicago Cubs, that fan who caught the foul ball.
Bartman.
Bartman. You can blame the loss on Bartman, which they did for a long time until ultimately they won the World Series. They gave him an honorary ring. You can blame it on Bartman, or you can look at facts and see how the Cubs strategically lost. They imploded and lost before that foul ball and after that foul ball. You get to make that decision as a human being. One is accurate, one is inaccurate.
Right.
And so I think that that was what a Scott Peterson prosecution was, is I think the DA's office felt political pressure to prosecute this law enforcement officer. I think there was a lot of misconstrued things that were considered to be facts that were not in fact facts about what happened, what didn't happen. You know, and look, it's also, I'm just going to say this. It's very easy for all of us who are sitting on the couch, armchair quarterbacking.
Oh, yeah.
If I was there, I would have done X, Y, and Z. Would you have?
I really hate that take so much because you don't know. It's easy to talk like the tough guy, but you don't know until you're in that scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, adrenaline could take over. That sense of duty could take over. Yeah. Or the flip side could take over, and logic and reason can rule the day, saying, what am I running into? I have no idea right now. I don't know where this guy is. I don't know if I'm running up a hallway screaming, trying to stop something where he could be behind me instead of in front of me.
That trial was in my mind, look, and I don't say this tongue in cheek, justice is served whenever a jury makes a decision and it's a clean bout.
Yeah.
Which is to say that I watched a lot of that trial. It seemed like a clean fight. Like, I didn't get the impression watching the trial that one side got screwed or whatever. Justice is served. Now, I can look at this whole entire situation and say, well, you know, and this is one where I can say, I told you so. Because said, this smells like an acquittal. I'm watching and it looks like an acquittal. I think if you're going to prosecute law enforcement officers, this needs to start with your legislature figuring out what is the crime we're going to charge them with for not going into a school shooting, not doing their duty, and then letting the people decide, is that a law we want in our jurisdiction, right?
Right.
Because this was just a poor fitting of a set of facts to a crime that really didn't feel like a crime.
Well, and it opens up that Pandora's box of the Monday morning quarterbacking. How much Monday morning quarterbacking should be from outside of the law enforcement realm, and how much should be from inside the law enforcement realm? How much of this is an IA investigation, an internal affairs investigation?
Well, right. And if I'm a grieving mother, my answer is going to be different than me as a legal commentator who can have a little bit more objectivity because I didn't lose a loved one in a school shooting.
Sure.
So the answer is, well, it depends, right? It shouldn't be that, but it feels like that's the answer. Now, that all being said, this one was also weird because we had the shooter already convicted and spending the rest of his life in jail.
Yeah.
And by the way, Florida decided not to put that kid to death, which to me,
un-Florida thing to do.
Right. Like Texas and Florida ain't afraid.
No, I know.
So.
All right. That's a good time for us to pivot to the next story, which brings us back home locally. Fair warning, when we come back from break, if you've got kids listening, there's going to be some adult level of conversation here. Two federal lawsuits were filed Monday in Baton Rouge against former BRPD officer Wade Hill, Police Chief Murphy Paul, and the city of Baton Rouge. This is per the headline, after officers' arrest for sexual misconduct, BRPD and the city are facing federal lawsuits. We're going to go from cops being scrutinized for non-action to cops being scrutinized for alleged bad action. So there's a couple of different lawsuits heading down towards Baton Rouge, or filed in Baton Rouge on Monday, against former BRPD officer Wade Hill, Police Chief Murphy Paul, and the city of Baton Rouge. In one of the lawsuits, the allegations stem from a domestic dispute BRPD investigated back in January of last year. Hill was one of the responding officers. According to the suit, Hill told the woman that's now suing him. By the way, just one more reminder, there will be more mature content within this segment. Hill allegedly told the woman now suing him that she would not go to jail, then drove her around Baton Rouge and took her to a private residence. Later, Hill took the woman to another apartment complex and said he would not take her to jail if she had sex with him. Franz, let's start with this one. Is this difficult to prove?
I think in the article that you're referencing that I read, I think they're claiming that there is video, body camera evidence and other GPS that collaborates.
Mm-hmm.
Collaborate, is that the right word?
Yes. Corroborates.
Corroborates the allegations. So the GPS, if in fact factual, the GPS shows, hey, we went to this place and then we went to this place. And the body camera footage, assuming that it recorded the, hey, if you do X, I'll do Y. I don't know that it's going to be problematic and difficult from a federal civil rights standpoint to prove that.
Let's flip the script on it, though.
Okay.
Say you're the defense attorney here.
Right.
Is GPS, well, the body camera, I'd be hard pressed to disprove the body camera.
Right.
But
right.
The GPS, is that, okay, we were.
Give me an ice cream and you're not going to jail. Okay, well, you know.
Yeah, you get down to the nitty gritty of what was actually said.
You see how I cut a sugar coated.
Sugar-coated it, yes. Yeah. He abused his power, the woman said. I was in a vulnerable state at the moment. He knew my kids were important to me. He took advantage of it, and I hope he rots in hell. That's the quote from the woman.
So the problem is always, in any of these cases, was it consensual, was it not consensual, or can it be consensual when there is a position of authority? Like, and let me be clear, you cannot consent to a sexual act in lieu of jail, right? That there is no consenting to, okay, well, I consent under duress. That's not what I'm saying. Is there are occasions where human beings will agree to do things with other human beings that are completely consensual, and then by nature of positioning, they claim, no, you did X, Y, and Z. And I'm trying very carefully to navigate this, versus, hey, it wasn't consensual. You use your position of authority and you basically put a figurative gun to my head and said, if you don't do this, I'm going to arrest you. I'm going to take away your liberty.
Okay. So there's the case against the cop here that we are talking about, but there's a second part of this as well. And that's the domestic dispute to begin with.
Right.
Should what transpired absolve her of her previous crime?
Well, you know, that's that the no. I don't. What transpired is going to affect her previous crime because it's going to muddy the water.
Right.
Not bloody the water, but muddy the water, which is an unfortunate part of this entire situation, right? Which is somebody who may have committed a crime now has a federal suit against the law enforcement officer and probably will get a favorable resolution on the criminal case as a result of it, even though the two have nothing to do with each other, right?
Right.
But in the same breath this is what makes this such a heinous alleged act is exchanging the arresting of those who break the law for sexual acts. It just doesn't quantify, right? That's not an equal quantifiable exchange of goods and services. I'm being very careful. I'm trying to be very careful.
I understand. I don't want to, that's the hard part, is not, you don't want to dilute the content in order to sidestep the topic.
Here it is. It affects her credibility because she's accused of doing a criminal act, but it affects his credibility because he is accused of not arresting her for the criminal act. Based on what? Favors.
Right.
Bigger question to me is, what's on the body camera footage?
Yes.
Okay. Somebody on the Facebook thread said, well, you know, look, I think it was a laundry actually. Like, wait, how stupid are you if you have your body cameras on?
Darn good question.
They forget. Look, I was a big proponent of these body cameras. They forget they're being camera videoed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is funny. Which is why they're such great things.
It really is. And this would be a great instance to show that if that's how this plays out, to show, hey, you can prove yourself innocent or prove yourself guilty based off of your own body camera. Now, does it add to it that there's a second allegation? And
sure.
I asked in terms of perception. Well, being guilty of one does not necessarily mean being guilty of another, but when you're being prosecuted for it,
in our criminal justice system, when you have two prior felonies for possession of cocaine,
mm-hmm.
and now you're being accused of felony theft, the fact that you previously possessed cocaine on two different occasions really doesn't prove that you stole something, although there could be an argument for why you stole something if it's drug related.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, once a felony, always a felon.
Important distinction here. We only got a minute left, though. He hasn't been convicted of anything yet.
Right. He's being accused by multiple. Well, and we're seeing this on a national platform. People being accused, the Bill Cosbys of the world being accused of 1,000 people who say you did X, Y, and Z.
Right.
It's not, it doesn't help your case when there's more than one person. And Ronald Haley, God bless him, is totally fishing for more clients in that article where he makes the statement about, it begs the question, if he did it to these two people, how many other people are out there? And I would suspect that other people are going to come forward and try to hire Mr. Haley.
I would imagine so. That would only make sense. And it also only makes sense when you bring up the Bill Cosby reference that, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, apparently there's multiple fires or there's the possibility of.
Lots of pudding pops.
That's, oh, man. He's Attorney Franz Borkhardt. We do Legally Served at this time every week. You got to get over to Court TV, man.
All right, guys. Bye.
Yep, appreciate you.